This is the Daf Yomi Masechta Review, Masechta Kiddushin, Tape Number 3. This review is only meant for people who learn Daf Yomi on a regular basis or those who have learned through the Masechta. It is the goal of this review to be as accurate as possible in summarizing the highlights and key klolim of the Masechta. However, it is possible that on occasion something will not be reflected correctly.
For subscription information, write us at Daf Yomi Tapes, P.O. Box 831, Muncie, New York, 10952, or call 1-888-DAF-YOMI.
This tape is dedicated in memory of Ha'isha Dvorah Bas Yosef Manas Rimmel Zichronu Livrocha. Our Magid Shia is Rabbi Yossi Heber.
Masechta Kedushin, Daf Lamed Tes Amid Beis at the Mishnah. Whoever performs one mitzvah, good will be done to him. He'll inherit land, and he'll have arichas yamim, longevity. If one does not do a mitzvah, he forgoes all of these. And the Gemara says, Elu dvarim sha'adam eichel peruseyan ba'olam hazeh, va'karen kayemes le'olam haba. These are the things that if a person does them, he gets to enjoy this world, and the karen kayemes, the principle, is kayem, lasts even into olam haba. He gets both, in other words. What are these things? V'elu heim, kibra va'em, Gemilas Chasadim, Hachnosis Archim, Havas Shalom Ben Adam Lechaver, if a person brings peace between one friend and another. And then it concludes, the Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam. Talmud Torah, of course, takes precedence over everything else. By Kibbut Avaim, it says, the Schar is Arichas Yomim and a good life. By Shiluach Hakan, sending away the mother bird and taking the baby bird, that mitzvah, it also says Arichas Yomim and a good life. The Gemara then relates a maisa in which a young boy climbed a ladder at his father's request in an attempt to fulfill the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKan, and then he fell down and died. Rabbi Yaakov, observing this maisa, concluded that the pasuk that promised Laman Yitav Loch Barachta Yomim, length of days, as a reward for the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKan, should not be translated literally as meaning a long life during the present life, but rather it's referring to Olam Haba. The Gemara, however, questioned Rabbi Yaakov's proof from this incident. Perhaps, says the Gemara, B'derech Klal, the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKan is indeed rewarded with Arichas Yomim. However, this boy, in this particular case, was thinking about Avodah Zarah at that time, and perhaps it's this that caused his premature death. But why? The rule is Machshava Ra, Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mitzarfa L'maisa. As we mentioned, Hashem does not punish a person for sinful intentions alone. He only punishes mamish if a person does something wrong. So why did this young boy die just for bad thoughts? The Gemara answers from the pasuk that Avodah Zarah, worshipping idols, is an exception. And even the mere intention to worship idols, a person is mechuyev in punishment. Rabbi Eliezer asked, how was this boy killed? We know shluchei mitzvah ain't an izakin. If someone is on his way to do a mitzvah, harm cannot happen to him, as we learn in the Gemara in Pesachim, that when a person does a mitzvah, at the time he's going to do the mitzvah, nothing can happen to him. He's protected. My answer is this protection is only applicable on the way to doing a mitzvah, not on the way to coming to returning back. This boy was returning. Also, the ladder was defective in this particular case. And shluchei mitzvah ein nizakin does not apply if it's kviya hezeka. The hezek is already set because there's something defective about the situation. Or shchiyah hezeka, or something which is common to be a problem. So if a person goes to do a mitzvah, but he goes through a very bad neighborhood, although you would typically think shluchei mitzvah ein nizakin, but since it's shchiach for someone to get hurt in that bad neighborhood, the protection doesn't exist, as we see from Shmuel and Shaul. Then the Gemara says, relating to the maisa of the young child that fell off a ladder, that when Acher saw this, he became an apikaris. Because when he saw this happen, he lost all of his bitachon. He said, how is it possible that a child goes up, is mekayim the mitzvah of kibbut avayim, and he's trying to be mekayim the mitzvah of shiluach hakan, and he should fall off a ladder and get killed? It doesn't make sense. He's doing these mitzvahs. Others say he became an apikaris for a different reason, because he saw Chutzpas HaMeturgaman being dragged through the streets by a pig when he was killed as one of the Asara Haruge Malchus. And he asked, this mouth that uttered so much Torah is now licking the dust? Impossible. And he lost all of his bitachon when he saw that. The Gemara says, generally speaking, a person must actually have to do a maisa to get the schar of a mitzvah. But just a shevi al tasa does not get the schar. But if someone conquers his yetzer hara and doesn't do an act of immorality, he will have a nes happen to him. There are different types of tzaddikim. If a person is good to Shemayim and he's good to people, then he's called a tzaddik toiv. If he's toiv to Shemayim but he's ra l'brius, then he's considered a tzaddik she'ena toiv. The same analogy is true for Russia. The reason the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKan was left off the list of Elu Dvarim Sha'echel Perotzein Ba'ilam HaZeva Ken Kayamus La'ilam Haba, why doesn't it say this mitzvah there, is since it's only a mitzvah that's been Adam LaMakam, not been Adam LaChavero. And the only things that get the person a schar both in this world and in the other, and in the world to come, are things that have been Adam LaChavero. We say Machshava Teva Mitzarfa L'maisa. If a person has good intentions to do a mitzvah, but an einus occurs and he can't do it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him credit for having done the mitzvah anyway. As the Pasuk says in Malachi, Liyirei Hashem ulechoshvei shmei. Masha'en kein emachshava ra, ena mitzarfa l'maisa. If one thinks that he's going to do an avera, and then he doesn't do the avera, he does not get any bad points against him unless he intended to be over an avodah zarah. This is a denial of the entire Torah. So basically, if a person thinks he's going to do something bad, but then in the end an einus happens and he doesn't do the bad thing, then there's no problem. Unless he was thinking to do avodah zarah, then he gets the bad points for even thinking about doing the avodah zarah. The Gemara says once a person does an avera two times, it becomes like mutter to him. So we say it's nasis like keheter. Once he does it a second time, he says to himself, oh, I'm doing it a second time, it must be mutter to do it. That's kind of what he thinks intuitively. Rabbi Avohu said in the name of Rabbi Chanina, it's better for a person to be over an iser privately than to be mechal shem shamayim befarhesia. If a person sees that his yetzer har is misgaber on him, he should go to a city where no one knows him, so he won't be mechal the name of Hashem befarhesia. There are certain things that if a person does them, it's as if he's roy not to be in this world. For example, if a person stares at a rainbow, he fits into this category. When a person does a regular avera, the punishment can come now or it can come later. But if he's over on chilul Hashem, the punishment comes immediately. And normally, if a person has an equal number of mitzvahs to an equal number of averas, Hashem will tip the scale in the person's favor. Unless he's over on chilul Hashem, then the scales tip the other way. And every day, a person should view himself as having an equal number of mitzvahs and averas, thinking that he needs to do one more mitzvah to tip the scale in his favor. And he'll always want to do mitzvahs. The Mishnah. Anyone who possesses Torah Shebichsav, Torah Shebalpeh, and Derech Eretz, he will not sin easily. As the Pasuk says in Kehelas, V'achut ha-mishulash lo b'mehera yenatek. This three-wayed, three-part chut, strand, will not break quickly. But if someone has none of these three, he's considered to be uncivilized. The Gemara. Although tzaddikim should always have it good, after all, they're tzaddikim, sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives them tsar in this world, so that they should have much more benefit in Olam Haba, which explains why sometimes, as they say, bad things happen to good people. And sometimes, a Rasha who should have had it bad in this world has it good in this world, so that in Olam Haba he can be driven out easily, because he won't have anything that is owed to him. Rabbi Tarfon and the Zakenim were sitting in Lud, and the question came up, Talmud Torah or Maisa Gadol Nana? Is learning Torah greater, or is doing good deeds greater? In the end, they said the Torah is greater because learning leads to Maisa. Shat Talmud Mevi Lide Maisa. Once a person learns Torah, he then goes off and does the Maisa, so you could sort of achieve both of them by learning Torah. Rabbi Yechanan said, a person who doesn't learn any Torah is Pasol Le'edus, and a person who is Oichel Bishuk is Daima Le'kelav. A person who eats in the marketplace is similar to a dog who has no etiquette. He doesn't know where he's supposed to eat. Some people also say a person who is Oichel Bishuk is Pasol Le'edus. And finally, if a person doesn't have any Torah or Derech Eretz, people make nedarim not to have any hana from him. As the Pasuk in Tillim says, Uva Meshav Leitzim Loi Yashav. This marks the end of this parak. Now let's begin the second parak, Ha'ish Mekadesh, from Daf Mem Aleph, Amen Aleph, the Mishnah. Ha'ish Mekadesh Bay Ubishluchai. A man can be Mekadesh, can marry a woman both by himself, or via a shliach. A woman can be Mekadesh also by herself, or via a shliach. And a man can marry off his daughter both by himself or via a shliach. And the Gemara asks, if he can be Mekadesh a woman with a shliach, why does the Mishnah have to tell us he can do it by himself? It's a Kal Vachomer. Once a person can do a Maisa or can do a mitzvah of Kedushin through a shliach, so of course he could do it by himself. The Gemara answers, because it's a bigger mitzvah to do it by yourself. Mitzvah by Yoyser Mibishluchai. That's the Chiddush. Sure, you could do it with a shliach, but if you do it by yourself, you get a much bigger mitzvah. As we see regarding Kavod Shabbos, Rav Safra was Machrech Resha, he prepared the head of an animal, and Rava was Malach Shivuta, he salted the fish. Instead of letting someone else do it and having the Shliach do it, they rather did it by himself, Chavivas HaMitzvah. That says it's a bigger mitzvah if you do it by yourself. Others say that if a person marries a woman via Shliach, he could be over on an Isser, since Osur Lo'odam Sheikadesh Asha Isha Ad Sheirena. It's also for a person to marry a woman until he sees her, Shema yira ba davar maguna. He might see something repulsive in her. V'tiskena ba. The Rachman Amar v'ahafta l'reacha kamocha. A person will come to hate this wife that he married without seeing her. And the Torah says, v'ahafta l'reacha kamecha. He doesn't want to be over that. Therefore, he should see the woman first. Therefore, it's better for him to be mekadisher by himself. So he gets to see her, as opposed to be mekadisher through a shliach where he might not get to see her. And the same question applies with a woman. We can say mitzvah ba, yesem yibishlucha. It's a bigger mitzvah for her to do it. That's why the Mishnah has to say ba ubishlucha. However, the chash of her finding a davar maguna in him doesn't apply. Since we say tav lemesav, tandum lemesav armala. Even a mediocre husband is better to a woman than living alone. So at least she'll have a partner that way, rather than living alone as an almana, or like an almana for the rest of her life. There's a famous Ran over here, which we've mentioned numerous times before in previous tapes. The Gemara says it's better for a woman to marry a man by herself, not via a shliach, because it says mitzvah ba yeser mibishlucha. The problem is that a woman doesn't have the mitzvah of peru or avu, only a man does. So what's the mitzvah that we're dealing with when we say mitzvah ba yeser mibishlucha? For a man, mitzvah ba yeser mibishlucha, because a man has a mitzvah of peru or avu, therefore it's better that he goes off and marries the woman himself than signing a shliach. When we say that a woman, the chiddush is that the reason we say mitzvah, the reason we say ba ubishlucha is to tell us that it's a bigger mitzvah if the woman does it herself. What mitzvah? She's not mechuyev in peru or vu. So what mitzvah are we talking about? The Ran says, correct. Technically, she doesn't have the mitzvah of peru or verivya, because that's only a mitzvah for the man, because it's only a mitzvah for people who conquer, as we've mentioned before. And since only a man conquers, only he's mechuyev in the mitzvah of peru or verivya, but for a woman it's not. But since the husband needs her help to be mekayim the mitzvah, because without her, it's impossible, in fact, for him to be mekayem the mitzvah of peru or avu, her helping makes her part of the mitzvah. That's why it's mitzvah ba yeser mibishlucha. And all of her shas, this Ran is quoted as the source for if someone helps somebody else to do a mitzvah, they also get the schar of doing the mitzvah. The Gemara says it's not a good idea for a father to marry off his daughter, who's a katana, until she grows up and says, v'pleini ani raitza. The Gemara asks, how do we know the principle of shlichus, that one can use a shliach for the purpose of kedushin? The Gemara answers, the pasuk says, the shalach by get, and since we're makish havaya l'yitzia, so just like shlichus is good for gerushin, it's also good for kedushin. If someone says to a shliach, take off truma for me, so if the shliach knows what kind of person the baal habayis is, he should give the proper amount. We know that the range is from 1/40. If a person is someone who likes to do a big mitzvah, he gives 1/40, or if he's wealthy, he gives 1/40. If he's a Benin, he gives a 50th, otherwise he gives a 60th. If he doesn't know what the amount is that the Baal HaBayis should give, he should give 1/50th, which is the average amount. Rabbi Shimon Karcha says, we learn that when a shliach does his shlichetz, it's the same as the mishaleach doing it actually himself, i.e. shluchai shel adam kemaisai. This is learned from mishachatu aisai kol adas Yisrael bein harabayim. But since it's impossible, this is referring to the Karban Pesach, since it's impossible for each person to shecht a separate behema, but rather one person does it for everyone, we see shluchai shel adam kemaisa. However, Rabbi Yanai adds that gam atem, from that pasuk, we learn that if you do make a shliach, he must be someone who is Jewish, who is mechuyev in the mitzvah that you made him a shliach to do for you, i.e. a guy cannot be a shliach. Because we say ma atem b'nei bris, af shluchachem b'nei bris, just like you're a b'nei bris, you're a mekayim, you're mechuyev to be mekayim in the mitzvahs, so too the person who does a shliach for you must be someone who is commanded to do the mitzvahs, i.e. this comes to exclude a guy. Rabbi Yechanan adds that an Eved cannot be a shliach to receive a get because he is not in the Torah of Gittin and Kedushin. Daf Mem Beis. From the Pasuk V'yikhu lahem ish selabais avais selabais, we can also learn shlichas, since one person can shecht the Karban Pesach for the entire household. A Nasi can accept land for his Shevet because we have a klal of zachin la'adam shalei befonav, that you can be zecha something for someone else without them even knowing about it, because it's good for them. But one cannot attain something which is bad for his friend unless his friend is present, since we say ein chaven ela befonav. The Gemara says if an apitropos is appointed to be the guardian of the estate of the yisaimim, of orphans, an apitropos can do anything for the yisaimim, whether it's a schus for them or a chayv. The job of the apitropos is to divide up the land in such a way that he feels is correct for all the yisaimim. And even a chayv, if later on when the yisaimim grow up, they're not happy with the decision that was made, we say that the decision stands anyway, because otherwise, makayach bezdin yafa. Bezdin was the one that appointed the apitropos, and if later on they could change the decision of the apitropos, then what good was the bezdin in the first place? Makayach bezdin yafa. This halacha, however, only applies to this type of a case of a yusayman. Otherwise, not. When Beis Din appoints an apotropos for the yosaimim, the apotropos divides up the property and gives each child a nice portion. And when they grow up, they cannot complain about their portion, since, as we mentioned, makoyach Beis Din yafa, it'll be mezalzel the power of Beis Din. If, however, Stam Beis Din made a major error in a din Torah, and the mistake was over 1/6 of the worth of the din Torah, Rav Nachman holds Beis Din would have to rescind the psak, and we wouldn't press the issue of makoyach Beis Din yafa, since the error was major. Major meaning it was more than 1/6. Three brothers who split up an estate, we say harehein kilakuchais, they have the same halacha as regular buyers. Meaning to say, number one, if the mistake is less than 1/6, the mekach is kayim. If the mistake is more than 1/6, more than shtus, the transaction is batel. If it's exactly 1/6, the transaction is good, but the one who got the extra must return it. According to the Rush and Rashi, the halacha that a mistake of less than 1/6, the mekach is kayim, is only on something that the price fluctuates sometimes. According to the Rambam, this kula is by all cases, and the machra is considered kayim, even if it's something that fluctuates or something that doesn't fluctuate. And the Gemara says if a person appoints a shliach, then this kula of 1/6 does not apply, since a person doesn't appoint a shliach to get him a bad deal. And if we're dealing with karka, there was never a requirement to return miscalculated cheshbonos, since ein oina lekarkois. Rava explains, though, that if things were actually measured with a cheshbon, that a mistake of 1/6 by karka must also be returned. If someone sends a torch, a fire with a cheresh shaita v'katan, he is potter b'dinei adam, but chayev b'dinei shamayim if he does something to damage something. But if he sends it with a pikach, with a normal person, the pikach does damage, only the pikach is chayev for damages. I, let's say, shluchai shel adam kamaisai, and make the person who sent the shliach chayev. We do not say shluchai shel adam kamaisai over here, because ein shliach l'dvar avera. You can't say that when you send a shliach to do something which is an avera for you, that it's as if you did it yourself, because the shliach shouldn't have done it in the first place. Because we say divrei harav, the divrei hatalmud, divrei mishaimim. If a rebbe, i.e., so to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says something and commands you in a mitzvah or in a leis aseh, and then a talmud says, no, do something different, who are you going to listen to? Of course you're going to listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the same thing here. If the person sends you to do something which is an avera, you have to listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the shliach is chayev on his own, and the person who actually sent him is pater. From the pasuk in Mishpatim al kol dvar pesha, Beis Shammai learns that a person is chayev on a machshava as if he did the maisa by pikadon, i.e. machshava kemaisa. But Beis Hillel says a person is not chayev until the man actually is shaleach yad on the item. The Rush brings a raya from this shitas Beis Shammai that when you write a sefer Torah or make tzitzis, as long as you had machshava to do the mitzvah lishma, it's good, and you don't have to say specifically that you're doing this lishma. Although we normally say ein shliach ledvar avera, there are exceptions. Me'ila, for example, where one can appoint a shliach, or by pikadon, which we say shlichus yad bepikadon, if someone does that, one can appoint a shliach. So if we have these places, learn the halacha of yesh shliach ledvar avera to the rest of the Torah. Why do we say ein shliach ledvar avera? Say yesh shliach ledvar avera. Our answer is, since we have exactly two places, we say shnei ksuvim habam ki echad ein melamden. Once you have two places, the Torah went out of their way to say two specific places. The Torah meant to tell you that only those places have the halacha. Meaning to say here, we only say yesh shliach l'dvar avera by these two cases. But otherwise, we say ein shliach l'dvar avera because divrei harav, divrei talmud, divrei mi shemim. Shemim Hazakin said if you send a shliach to kill someone, of course the killer is chayef. But even the mishaleach in this case gets a punishment. Why? Why should we say he should get a punishment? Say ein shliach l'dvar avera. He doesn't really get a punishment bidei adam, but he does get a punishment bidine shamayim. Taisvi says the klal of ein shliach dvar avera is only when the shliach does it b'mezit. But if the shliach does an avera b'shoigig, then the sender should be responsible. Other rishonim argue and say we say ein shliach dvar avera whether the shliach is b'shoigig or b'mezit. Despite the fact that Shammai Hazaken holds yesh shliach dvar avera, but if the shliach gets hana'a from the maisa, i.e. a person says to a shliach, go and eat chaylev for me, then of course the shliach is chayev, since we never find the Torah a case of zenehen of zen is chayev. The shliach goes and eats the chaylev and enjoys it. And what are we going to say? The mishaleach is chayev, but the shliach is not chayev. Rav holds shliach nase eid. So if you send the shliach to do kedushin for you, he can also be one of the two eidim for the kedushin. And if you send two shluchim, they can be the two eidim. The Beir Reb Shela says, ein shliach nase eid. So the shliach cannot be an eid. We say the halacha is shliach nase eid, by the way. The Ritva says, we know by any eidus, if you have, for example, six eidim, if one of them is pasul, because he's a relative to the baldin, all of the eidim become pasul. So if one of the six eidim happens to be, then everybody's pasul. Because once one of the Edom becomes pasul, all of them become pasul. So by Kiddushin, it's important that if a lot of people are informally standing around, they're sort of like undesignated Edom, that you specifically assign two people to be the official Edom. And this is in fact what we do at every chasana. 200 people are watching the chasana, say at least 25 of them are going to be mishpacha. They technically, according to some shittas, could pasul up everybody, because it's like you have a group of six Edom, one of them is pasul, so it pasuls the other five. So we have to be chayshish for that. Therefore, we assign two kasher Edom to be the official Edom Kiddushin. This is in fact what we do. Today, if there's any question in Edus, we have shluchim who are involved, make a shvuas heses. The Ksais HaChayshin and Simon Kuf Peches ask an interesting question. A normal man, he was a pikech at the time, sent a get. But by the time the shliach gave the get to the woman, the mishalach became a shaita. Is the get still good or not? When he sent it, he was okay. Now he's puzzled to send it. The Ksais says that the Rambam says it's kosher, but the Tur says the get is puzzled. The lumdus behind this machlokes is if shluchai shel adam kamaisai is considered an extension of the hand of the mishalech, or it's simply a transfer of all the rights from the mishalech to the shliach. Shluchai shel adam kamaisai. The Arsameach says this applies over here to our machlokes. Rav holds it's considered an extension of the mishalech's hand. That's what we say shliach nasei. The Berab Shela says it's a transfer of power. That's why ain shliach nasei. Since now the shliach is like the mishalech mamish. So he's a negabadar, so surely he can't be an aid. Anarahamu Rasa, either her or her father, can accept a get for her. Rabbi Yehuda says only her father can, because we say, Ein shte yadayim zeichais ke'echad. Reish Lakish says, this is the same machlokes applies to Kedushin. Rabbi Yochanan says, all agree by Kedushin, only the father can accept it for her, since she's leaving the reshus of her father. And if a person isn't smart enough to watch a get, the get is not chal. In Maimer, which is a special Kedushin of a Yavama, this needs consent of her father. But if she's a Nara, she can do it on her own. But you can't bring a Raya from this to get in Kedushin, because a Yavam is already connected, since she's what we call Zakok Yavam. She's already connected. That's why she can do it on her own. It's a machlekes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. If one says to a woman, marry me with this date, and then he repeats the same thing, marry me with this date, with this Tamar, if one is worth more than a pruta, he's married. But if both together are worth more than a pruta, but one alone is not worth more than a pruta, then it's not good. Since these are considered two separate transactions, neither of which is worth more than a pruta. Or maybe you can't say that we combine the two together. A Nara, who wants to accept a get for herself, is she like the hand of her father as an extension, or is she like the chatzar of her father, mamish? And what if one writes a get and puts it into the hand of an eved of his wife? If the slave is tied up and he's sleeping, but the wife is watching the slave, then we say it's considered a chatzar hamishtameres ledaita, so the get is chal. But if the slave is awake, the get is no good, since it's not her own das, but the das of the slave. The Ravid says from the pasuk gamatem, we say ma'atem b'nei das, afshduchachem b'nei das. We learn that both the shliach and the mishleach must have das in order for a transaction to take place. That's why a katana cannot be involved in shlichas at all. The Rambam says the reason for this is not because of das, but rather because of edus. A katan cannot be an aid, that's why he can't be part of shlichus. A katana who received kedushin without the das of her father, which everyone agrees is also lechatchila, but we're dealing here with a case of bidyavid. Shmuel says she needs a get and she needs miyan, which is a special kedushin, which is midrabanan. Karna says you don't need both. And finally, Ula says you need nothing, since the kedushin really wasn't chal at all, unless there was a formal shidduch. Daf mem hei. If a person marries a katana without the das of her father and then dies, so she falls to the deceased brother for yibum, what do we do? Rav Huna says she must make miyan if he made maimer, plus she needs a get, since they're like married right now, but otherwise a chalitza is needed, i.e. if the brother didn't do maimer, there's only a regular zika, so chalitza is enough to erase the zika. Ravina states that if a father marries off his son without first consulting with him, the Kedushin is pasul, since the father has no special jurisdiction to marry off his son. The Gemara, however, asks, even if the son did not formally appoint his father as the shliach, perhaps he at some previous time said to his father that he wants to marry that woman. Therefore, perhaps the Kedushin is good, since it was performed on the basis of his son indeed wanting the Kedushin. The Gemara answers that Ravina, is of the opinion that as a rule we never suspect Kedushin without definite knowledge of the son's consent, because a person generally wants to perform his own Kedushin. And in fact, no person would use his father as a shliach for himself either. Once a person makes a suda for a specific person, we can assume that he was serious about the transaction. because ein adam tareach besuda umafsida. The person wouldn't go to the trouble of making the suda and then lose it completely. A girl became niskadish with the das of her father, did kedushin with the das of her father, and then her father went to Medina Sayam, and she did nisuin without his das. Rab says, if the husband is a kayin, she can eat truma until her father returns, and then, if he's against the nisuin, he doesn't want it, she must stop eating truma. Ravasi says, she shouldn't eat truma at all until he returns, since if he is not maskim to the nisuin, and he says, I don't want it, then she will have actually eaten truma as a zar lemafreya. This, incidentally, is only that she would have been eating a zar lemafreya midrabanan, because midaraisa and arusa is allowed to eat truma. This is for one of two reasons, because number one, we're afraid it's possible that within the excitement of the moment, she would have given her brothers and sisters to eat from the truma, because she's really still living in her parents' house. She comes home, brings the truma from her husband, who's a kayin, and she gives it to her brothers and sisters, who are not allowed to eat it, because only she, because she's married to a kayin, is allowed to eat it. That's one reason. Also, mishum simpain, because we're afraid that the kayin, after the erusin, might find some kind of a psul in her, and he'll be mavatal the kedushin, and therefore she would have eaten it, the truma, not really having been married to a kayin. Therefore, in Rabbanon, we say that an arusa is not allowed to eat truma after kedushin, but rather has to wait till after the nisuin. That involved the Mishnah. If a man says, be mekudish to me with a date, and then he says it again, be mekudish to me with this date. These are considered two separate acts of kedushin, and unless one of the tamarim itself, all by itself, is worth at least a pruta, the kedushin is not good. But if he says, be mekudish to me with this date, and with this one, i.e. it was all one total act, that he can combine the value of both of the dates to achieve the necessary pruta. So even if both of them, each of their own, are worth less than a pruta, they can be combined for the value of a pruta. And the Gemara says, the shita here is that of Reb Shimon, who discusses this klal of separate and together by swearing, shvuas pikadon. If a man marries a woman with the value of a debt, i.e. he's meichel the money that she owes to him, the kedushin is not chal. So this is a case of mekadish b'milva. And we say, a mekadesh b'milva ena mekudeshes, because milva lahitsa nitna. The original money that was given to her was given from the purpose of spending it. Therefore, it's already like spent. She could do whatever she wants with it. Now he's meichel, it's like she gets no hana from it at all. If she were to pay it back, she would be giving back different money. So he can't be mekadesh with the original money because it's now gone. If one is mekadesh his sister, the Gemara says, according to Rav, the money he gave to her must be returned to him, since everyone knows kedushin can't be chal with a man's sister. But Shmuel says, of course the kedushin is not chal, but she can keep the money anyway, since it's just like a matana. And technically, if one takes off challah from flour versus from dough, which is already kneaded, the flour should also be called a matana, but we nonetheless don't let the kayin keep it, because then the balabayas will think that it isn't tevel. He won't be mafresh truma, and he'll be over on eating truma, since challah must be taken from dough, not from flour. Rashi here explains what the shear of challah is. It's 5/4 of flour, or 5 lugin, or 1 1/4 kabin. Rav says, Hamakadish b'milva eina mekudeshes. The man says to a woman, I'll marry you by foregoing the money you owe to me. It's no good, since milva lahitsa nitna, as we mentioned before. She could do anything with the money, so he really isn't giving her anything. If a man says to a woman, be mekadish me with the pikadon you're watching for me, i.e. you can keep the pikadon you're watching for me, and when she gets home, she finds that it was stolen, if at least a shavapruta was still left, the kedushin is good. If there's not a shavapruta left, the kedushin is not good. This halacha needs a bit of clarification. As we mentioned on the Chesamid Aleph, that although a pruta is sufficient for kedushin, nevertheless, if a woman was told that she is being given a dinar for kedushin and was given less, she's not mekudeshes, and she intended to become mekudeshes only for a dinar and not for less. Consequently, in this case also, maybe the woman only agreed to become mekudeshes for the amount of the entire pikadon, and not just for the pruta that's left in the pikadon. The Rashba mentions Yerushalmi, says, indeed, in a case where a man told the woman that he is being mekadesha with the entire pikadon, the kedushin is only chal if, in fact, the entire pikadon is still there. However, in the case of our Gemara here, explains the Rashba, where a man did not stress that he's performing the kedushin with the entire pikadon, he just said with the pikadon. In such a case, the implication is that he wants the kedushin to take effect with whatever portion of the pikadon is still there, whether all of it is there or just some of it is there. Therefore, as long as a pruta remains, the kedushin is chal. The Rash, however, says that in our Gemara, this halacha, this kula, only applies in a case where the woman never knew how much the pikadon was worth. Only in such a case is the kedushin chal if the pikadon that was discovered is partially missing. Otherwise, it's not good. Daf Mem Ches. If Reuven owes me money, and I sell the right to this money to Levi, and then I tell Reuven, I'm meichel v'debt, Shmuel says Reuven does not have to pay the money back to Levi, since Reuven and Levi don't really have any connection. The Rambam agrees with this shita of Shmuel, since the original loan was a kinyan midaraisa, but the selling of the loan was only a kinyan midarabanan. So the mechila of the original daraisatic loan is stronger than the mechira of the kinyan midarabanan. Aladaf brings Rabbeinu Tam's shita, which takes a different approach. He explains that lending money entitles a malva, a lender, to two monetary privileges. Firstly, he acquires a shibud haguf, the borrower's personal obligation to repay the loan. And secondly, he acquires shibud nechasim, a lien on the borrower's property for collection of the loan. Rabbeinu Tam contends that a malva, though empowered min ha-Torah to sell his loan obligation, is only empowered to sell shibud nechasim, but the shibud haguf can never be transferred. Thus, although with the sale of the loan to the loiva's, the debtor's property becomes mortgage for collection of the loan to the buyer of the loan contract, nevertheless, the personal obligation of a loiva still technically remains to the original creditor. Consequently, Rabbeinu Tam explains that even after the malva sells his loan contract, he is nevertheless still able to be meichel b'loiva's shibud haguf, personal obligation, since the shibud haguf was never sold. Once he forgoes the shibud haguf and pardons the loiva from his personal obligation to repay the loan, explains Rabbeinu Tam, neither will the loiva's property any longer be mortgaged to the buyer for payment of the loan, because a shibud and nechasim must be viewed as merely a guarantee for satisfactory payment of the shibud haguf, but it cannot exist on its own right once the shibud haguf is gone. We should also point out that the Ramban does not paskin like Shmuel.